We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Ari Spears. Welcome, brother.
What up? Welcome back.
Welcome back. How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm all good, man. Last time I saw y'all was over on Hudson Street.
Absolutely. Yeah. We haven't seen you in a long time, like 7 years.
Not since then, yeah.
Might have been on Vlad TV all the time.
All the time, yeah.
You know, when somebody came in, was like, I don't know, Aries Bears, he might be a little upset. I was like, that's Aries. That's how he always is.
That's a misconception. Upset by what?
I don't know. Maybe they walked in and they said you didn't seem as lovable as they would seem. But I'm like, that's Aries. That's how he is.
They don't know Aries Spears. I've never looked at Aries Spears and said, you know, he's lovable.
He's so lovable.
To the contrary, I'm very lovable. I just keep an Ice Cube scowl on my face because I don't want niggas to think they can come up and say anything to me.
Like, I love you.
That's hilarious. You know, let me tell you something, man. I truly believe I've always been one of the most misunderstood cats in the game because I don't walk around, you know, pulling a Magic Johnson, smiling from temple to temple. Mm. So because I got a kind of certain exterior, there's that. And then people see me in interviews and based off things I say, apparently truth is the new hate. Mm-hmm. You know, opinionated is the new bitter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm just honest about how I feel about things. I speak it how I see it, how I feel it. And people misconstrue that shit for hate, which is ridiculous. Because I just come from an era where, you know, you speak your mind.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you've ever been understood? Was there a point where you were, and then something happened and people just started misunderstanding you, or you think it was like that from the beginning?
Well, I just think it was like that from the beginning. You know what I mean? And especially now because of this social media age we live in where you got to pussify everything. Like I said, when you're honest, that just gets misconstrued. And just because I don't necessarily go with the grain of the opinion that you like, that's viewed as hate. You know, it's like, why I got to always flow with the traffic? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I don't feel it, I don't feel it. So.
That makes sense.
I think that and the fact that you so tri-state area in New York and New Jersey from the beginning, I think that's part of it too.
Bias as fuck.
Yep.
But I admit it. I admit it. You know what I'm saying? People go, man, you're a New Yorker, nigga. You don't like West Coast rap. You don't like no rap if it ain't from New York. I've given credit where I find credit should be due. Mm-hmm. You know, I love a lot of artists that ain't from New York. It ain't many. But, you know, I like our swag, man.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the East Coast ain't beefing no more. Like, we cool with them.
Yeah,
all.
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just saying, you know, yeah. I'm stubborn in my belief system.
Is there a certain sound you want?
Yeah, man, a certain rhythm and cadence and delivery.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
As a comedian, why do you think, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I've watched you, you know, I come to your shows all the time, me and the wife. Why don't you think you are not a bigger comedian as I think that you should be?
Because my mouth is my biggest strength, but it's also my biggest detriment. Mm-hmm. No, I don't have to do it, no Diddy. I know who I am. I don't play the games.
Yeah.
I don't play the games, man.
Stop playing with me.
Fuck out of here. I don't get in that shit. You know what I'm saying? Fuck all that.
That's a great answer. I know who the fuck I am.
You know, I ain't got to do that shit. That whole pause thing to me is ridiculous. Let me tell you something.
When Paul I've been does on, feel like you might be thinking about
no,
it.
No, listen. When I did Vlad recently, we were talking about Denzel, and I said, hey, listen, part of the allure to a Denzel, especially in his prime, or Brad Pitt, is besides the talent.
They were attractive.
They were attractive. Mm-hmm. There's a sex appeal. There's a sexiness to them.
Yeah.
And the comments was, yo, it's one thing to kind of say a man is handsome, but to use the word sexy? Get the fuck out of here, man.
You know, that's mad New York niggas, though.
That's no, you said mad men, period. Though.
You ain't say sexy. You said sex appeal.
I might have said, yo, I get it. I know why women like him. He's a sexy guy.
Yeah.
He eludes sex appeal.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
That's the same thing, man.
You want to say something so bad.
No, I'm thinking about it. Like,
what?
I don't know if I would say sexy. Sex appeal is the same thing,
it's
I guess.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You recognize what my eyes ain't lying to me. My I see it. I know what ugly looks like, so the fuck, I don't know what attractive looks like.
Right.
Nah, the other day, Denzel jumped out of a car, and he's 70 now.
70?
Yeah. And girls was losing their mind. I'm looking at him like, yo, I hope I look that good at 70.
Helen Hunt looks 70, and she's not.
Damn.
But you know, white folks age like fruit, nigga. Once they go bad, nigga, it's over.
Listen, congratulations. 25 years of comedy, man. That's dope. A long
35
years.
Started when I was 14.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
How have things changed, man?
I
feel like it changes every 10 years for comedy.
You know, I think that it's in terms of its evolution, I don't know if it's as potent as it used to be. Because mm-hmm. now everybody with these cell phones and a platform can get in a Studio 54. Everybody shouldn't be allowed in the Studio 54.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's diluting the product mm-hmm. a little bit. You know, I understand if, you know, the 15 minutes of fame, but substance makes longevity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, substance makes a career. You know, and I see so many of these flash in the pans come along, mm-hmm. and some of it is funny as hell. You know, I get caught up in the scroll matrix. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I know the difference between the undercard and the main event. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Do you still have the same love when you first started?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I get frustrated at times. And
bless you.
There have been moments where I want to quit just because the politics of it and the bullshit of it can start to wear on you. But I'm in perspective. What the fuck else am I going to do? Mm-hmm. This is my passion. This is mm-hmm. what I do, you know? So... got to ride it till the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
What are the politics for somebody like Ari Spears?
You know, it's funny. I recently did Tony Rock's podcast. Mm-hmm. And I told Tony the story where one night Chris and I never really had a lot of interaction with Chris. But we went out to dinner one time. And at the end of the dinner, he was just like, hey, man, I can give you three pieces of advice. Keep writing, stay funny, and try not to piss these white folks off. Mm-hmm. I listened to two of the pieces of advice. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my mouth is my biggest power, my biggest detriment. I say a lot of shit that I think sometimes turns people off. And again, if they don't know me in depth, they take it for face value.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, oh, he's this way. But, you know, again, if you took time to really hang out with me and do some self-investigation, mm-hmm. yeah, there's certain parts that I'm going to commit to. But I'm more than that, than what you just see in an interview.
Yeah.
So, you know, the politics for me has been trying to figure out how to navigate through this mind fuck of what you say and what you don't say,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
You don't hold your tongue, so do you ever get to a point where it's like you scared of saying things now? Because usually some of the stuff that when we used to go to your shows, you would say off the wall-ish. It was funny, but now that off the wall-ish.
Well, in stand-up, I'm going to always be that. I'm not changing that.
Thank you.
But in terms of interviews, not that I'm, I don't like the word scared, but I'm going to be more strategic in how I say what I want to say, you know, because there's a way to say everything.
Yeah.
And as comics, you know, that's the brilliance of what we do is to put that, make shit smell like roses if we choose to do that. So, you know, I'm probably trying to think a little bit more.
Right. Yeah.
Is that because you don't really want to make sure that you're not canceled and you're not on?
What if you can really cancel you when you got the stage? I don't think stand-up comedians can ever be canceled.
Yeah, in terms of stand-up, no. Yeah. But then, you know, film and television, where sometimes the bigger, easier money is to be made, that can be taken away from you.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is why I love Dave Chappelle so much. I don't want to jinx it, and I don't think I am, but I think he's uncancelable, you know, because he's such a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Something you said just now makes a lot of sense, though, because the older you get as a comedian, do you still want to be touring every weekend? Do you want that to be the way you make money? Or would you rather be able to do something easier, like a TV show? Or
well,
movie?
I mean,
or do you enjoy it, because you might enjoy
if you enjoy it, but, you know, there's levels to this. So if you're at the level where, you know, instead of grinding out, you know, three nights, six, seven shows, you do a theater for one night, and instead of commercial, you fly in private.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever gets old. You know, so it's trying to figure out a way to lessen the grind. You know, like I just started doing theaters now. For the longest, I've always done clubs. But, you know, between the date at the Garden, I just sold out Toronto.
Congrats.
I just sold out Boston at the Wilbur. So I'm you know, I'm slowly trying to get to that point. You know,
doing the Hulu Theater on May 18th.
May 18th, yeah.
A lot of people know you from Mad TV, and I always wonder because comedians, whenever they get announced, they be like, from Comic View, from Def Comedy Jam, from Mad TV. And I'm like, does that still matter? Do people still remember those things?
Not if your position is solidified. Like, I'll go place it in the person will ask me, hey, what's your credits? I go, just say Ari Spears.
Yeah.
Everybody here knows who the fuck I am.
Right.
That's why they bought the ticket.
Bought tickets
so they don't need
me,
to know, hey, I've done, they know already. You know?
Yeah, because I might have been watching you on Vlad TV for the last 10, 15. I might be 25. I don't know
nothing
about Mad TV.
Right.
Why do you think shows like Mad TV, sketch shows like that, didn't have the longevity of like SNL?
Well, you know, other than SNL, Mad TV was the only sketch show to have that kind of longevity.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, Saturday Night Live is the bully on the block. Always has been. Maybe if the powers that be had kind of supported us more, like even Fox didn't really support us. Like, we had some of the biggest names in music, Wu-Tang, Gwen Stefani, Missy. And our lead-in to the show was the news. So when they would finish their segment, they would just go, all right, now stay tuned for Mad TV. Wouldn't announce who's on the show. During some of Fox's biggest hits, they would never promote us.
No tease, no nothing.
So we never really got the support that we deserved.
Why?
I don't know. It was weird, man. You know, we were like the bastard stepchild to Fox on our own network. You know, it's crazy.
Is that when you realize this Hollywood thing ain't for me? Because I'm being here cursing everybody out, cursing these white folks out?
No, I mean, listen, it's part of what goes through the journey. So, you know, I always said, I don't really know how this is going to end for me, but as much as I want to sometimes and get discouraged, I'm not going to quit. You know, I'll die before I quit, or it may kill me. But either way, man, I'm in it. You know, because, you know, it's funny. I just put, as much as I complain, it's not until you step back sometimes and you put shit in perspective where you go, I have reason to complain. But then I look back and go, my life versus the regular Joe's, this is still fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? The kind of money I make in one weekend and, you know, I don't have a boss. I can sleep in all day if I want.
Yes.
Don't have to answer to nobody.
Yeah.
What's better than that?
And I said that too, and then now I work here. I
know you're doing all right, though. I know you're doing all right.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
What was the perspective, though? Like, what did you want? Like, before you took a step back to look and appreciate what you have, what did you want?
You know, I think that, and this is one of those moments where I'll say I hope people don't think that I'm being arrogant when I say this, but I think based on my skill level, I should be getting just as much as a Kevin Hart or, you know, a Mike Epps. But again, I will take responsibility for why I'm not, because again, I step different. You know,
Was there a particular step that you know, like, damn, that was one of the ones
you stepped on somebody?
Steps.
Yeah,
the whole staircase.
The whole front stair a bad move. I mean, I probably shouldn't said what I said about Jordan Peele, and you know, even at one point, I remember Kevin was on here talking about the beef with me and him and Epps, and you know, listen, man, when you're young and you brash and you're a New Yorker and you're an alpha dog, your ego, you want to beat your chest, you know, and that's always who I've been. So now that I'm 49 and I'm looking back, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have.
You did the Cat Williams before Cat Williams.
Probably, yes, mm-hmm. yes. So, you know, but like I said, as long as I got air in my lungs and a shot, I got a shot.
Have you ever spoke to those individuals that, you know, you might have went at, whether it was a Kevin?
I want to know what you said about Jordan Peele.
Well, you know, there was a segment where Vlad had showed a interview where Russell Simmons had described them and basically said, Hollywood didn't pick them niggas, such and such and such, and this is how they... Mm-hmm. And I was saying, based on my experience with them, it's like, especially what fucked me up was when they were with Mad, especially Jordan. Mm-hmm. Keegan, you could always see what it was talent-wise, but mm-hmm. Jordan was so quiet and he didn't really bring it like that. So I didn't know that really his superpower was writing and directing.
Yeah.
And I just said that, you know, listen, I said, yes, they are black men. They are black by pigmentation. But, you know, just because we got the skin tone don't always make you what the skin tone is.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, I don't whitewashed, but they just, you know the difference between, just because you're a black man don't mean you're a brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they didn't really have a lot of brother shit to them. And then I'm like, they both married the white women and they carry themselves a certain way. And but listen.
But that was it?
This is an observation that happens to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of people in the comments will go, what defines black? Let's not play that game. We know what defines black.
Yeah.
It's a rhythm, it's a culture, it's a feel, it's a walk, it's a sound.
But it's a difference between somebody that grew up in the hood and somebody grew up in the suburbs. They still black, but they got a different upbringing.
I say all the time, I'm a Huxtable nigga. I ain't a good times nigga. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's a difference, but even the Huxtable niggas, you could tell are legit niggas.
Hell yeah.
Versus niggas who are doing the jazz hands.
I got you.
The Evans was just as authentic as the Huxtables.
Yeah.
But we know there's niggas out there, and I'm gonna say one now. And you had him on your show. I can't stand Larry Elders.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that coon ass nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand Candace Owens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love when Dave Chappelle referred to her as a brilliant idiot. Because that's just what it is.
That's the name of my podcast.
Yeah, I know too. she's articulate, she's intelligent. But use the wrong way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like you're intelligently dangerous.
Mm.
So, you know, and I don't care what Larry Elder says. I've seen enough shit on him, read enough shit on him to where I go, nigga, please.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the most tap dancing, ass kissing niggas in the game. Mm. Stop it.
Yeah.
You know, get the fuck out of here. So now you see, I'm trying, you pulled me back in. I was trying to watch myself.
Yeah.
And God damn it, the natural shit is happening.
I've never seen that with Key and Peele, though.
Well, maybe.
But probably because they don't discuss politics. I don't know.
Well, I don't think they have to discuss politics. But again, I know to the people that will sit here and go, I'm tired of black people trying to define blackness. Let's not play this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hang around somebody and you talk to them and there's a vibe and an energy. You know what that is.
Yeah.
I'm just simply saying they never gave off that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my observation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether one is to agree with it or not, that's neither here nor there.
You know what's funny about that? There was a point where people felt like that about Dave. Early on,
and
before,
you know,
Chappelle's show.
When I heard that, that was only because Dave hadn't, like a lot of black comedians, Dave's route was more rooted in like doing stuff that white people saw that black people didn't really see.
Once
Dave did the Chappelle show, niggas came late to the Dave party.
Yeah, because Killing Me Soft.
Dave
was funny.
Always that nigga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But black, for instance, like Martin, the show Martin, that's biblical in the black
community. Yeah,
that's
of course. Right.
That show was biblical.
That's right.
Dave didn't have that accessibility to black people the way Martin did. But Dave was always 1,000% nigga. And then once Chappelle's show came out, niggas went, oh, who with it? That nigga right here. Now they late to the party, but real comics and real niggas know Dave always been that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's different. So Comic View then and now?
I never did Comic View.
No, but I'm saying you watched it.
Yeah.
Like, how you feel about it being rebooted and how
The same way I felt about Def Jam being rebooted.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was something, the explosion, and obviously Def Jam came before Comic View, and I tell people this all the time. What made Def Jam so explosive, and it was inevitable, was because prior to Def Jam, Hollywood only allowed one nigga per decade.
Mm.
You know, Dick Gregory in the 60s, Pryor in the 70s,
yeah.
Eddie in the 80s, and black talent had always been out there. We just weren't allowed to shine like that. Mm-hmm. So once America got a chance to see 1,000 niggas at once, it was an explosion. Mm-hmm. Then followed behind that, Comic View. But the genie's out the bottle now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you capture that, what was special then, now.
On TV. Yeah.
And now you got this thing, which is 1,000 other options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, when you did Def Jam or Comic View, you got on there because you earned your stripes. You was talented. Yeah. Now everybody with this platform is a comedian. And I'm just like, damn. Mm-hmm. Like this one nigga on Instagram, on social media, the nigga that pulls the cereal on his head and the milk in the Walmart. Have you seen this?
No.
And he's like a pep coach. Like he goes into Walmart and opens a whole box of cereal and dumps the entire thing of cereal and milk all over his body.
What's
leaving
motivation
a mess.
About that?
Well, he's trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. But while he does it, he's telling you, believe in yourself. No matter what anybody tells you, believe in yourself. You can do it. And meanwhile, in the background, you got all these people in the store. Like, what is this nigga doing?
Yeah.
And in the comments, people are going, yo, man, look past the milk and the mess and hear the message. And I'm going, who the fuck? Nigga, if somebody's got to clean that. So to an employer that's got to clean that, that's not funny.
No.
And I said, nigga, if you really want to be impactful with that same energy and that same practice, do that at a police station.
Yeah.
Go in the cops. Nigga, believe in yourself. Put the cereal in the milk. Do that shit at the police station, man. And to the people that saying, this is good, let them come to your house and do that shit.
Word up.
In your living room. Believe in yourself, nigga. And you got to clean up cereal and milk.
Word up. I want to ask you something about the 90s, man. Because growing up in the 90s, it felt like people were not as sensitive as they are now. And I'm not even talking about like...
It was a great era.
And it felt like artistically people could do things. Like we talk about men on film.
Right.
And like I've seen people give you know, flack for sketches that you've done. And I'm like, but that's how things were back then.
Yes.
Like you're judging things on this era.
Yes.
Back then that was normal.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, what do you think happened? Even the black men wearing dresses and all of that.
Yeah. Again, social media. Because everybody's got a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody believes it because they have a voice, they should be heard. They're special. And fact is, everybody ain't special.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are fucking dumb. Most people are dumb.
Yeah.
Most people don't have talent. Most people, you know, they should be quiet. You know, and everybody's got a chance now. And because of that, we have to protect and respect everybody's feelings and thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's taken away from the purity of being able to just keep what's special, special. You know, it's oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's horrible.
Where did that come from, though? Like, where did that pivot, where did that shift happen to where, like, the things that were being done in the 90s that were just funny, I guess.
Yeah.
When did that become, like, a thing where that black man sold out if he wore a dress to get on?
You know, I don't know where this boogeyman theory has always existed within the black community about men in dresses, when men in drag has always been a staple in comedy from day one. And my whole thing was, listen, man, again, let's have it in perspective. First of all, that is a comedic thing. And when you look at all the prominent black men in Hollywood, both comedians and dramatic actors, we have far more black men not in dresses than we do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
when you right. look at, I could go down a list of Denzel, Sam Jackson, Ving Rhames, fucking Wesley Snipes. And it's like, we've played everything from lawyers to judges to cops to superheroes, loving fathers, loving husbands, everything under the sun. How many of those have been in dresses? None of the dramatic actors.
Right.
I mean, I know Wesley did Tu Wong Fu, but other than that, Denzel, this person, they ain't never been in a dress. But even the comedians who have, let's not play this game. It's like, if you're going to tell me on one end, it's the demean black men and that's some bullshit. So we now taking the glory away from Jamie Foxx, Oscar winner, singer, one of the best actors in the game, because y'all loved him when he was Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
You love Martin, when it was biblical, and Shanae,
right.
Mama Payne, the Big Mama series.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So do we take the legend of Flip Wilson and throw that away when he was on a show at a time when black people weren't on TV and he gave us a platform where we couldn't be seen?
Mm-hmm.
Do we take the iconic status away from Eddie Murphy. Yeah. You know, the Klumps, Mama Klump, Rasputitsch,
right.
Richard
You're
Pryor,
right.
the greatest
right.
comedian of all time, as the maid and the toy. So come on, man, let's not do that. Right. And if any of these niggas came to your city to perform, you ain't buying tickets.
You going.
That's right.
So stop it, man.
And everybody you named is like top tier legendary talent.
Yes, man. Absolutely.
Like that person would have made it regardless.
Yes, yes. And again, in perspective, you've seen them in a dress maybe here once or there twice in a movie. Look at their body of work. Most of it is not in a dress. Mm-hmm. So as long as the scales tip a certain way, yo, we can have a little bit of that for comedic purposes. Mm-hmm. You know, Tyler Perry, this motherfucker's a juggernaut.
That's right. He's
got a whole studio. Helps to employ a lot of black folks.
That's right.
And now we're going to deny ourselves a piece of a potential pie because he wore a dress? It made him who he is.
Yeah, he got on. You know?
And now he can use that money to funnel back into our communities and build us up.
Like he's
so
doing.
What are we fighting?
That's right.
You know, it's fucking ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Our stand-up specials, how do you make stand-up specials special nowadays?
I just think it starts with the talent. If the talent is special, mm-hmm. the rest takes care of itself. Mm-hmm. It's like I like that great quote by Jay-Z. I forget the documentary when he performed at the Garden.
Backstage,
mm-hmm. yeah. And he said, just get in the booth, leave the door crack, let God in. So, you know, get on stage, do what you do, and that's going to take care of everything else. Mm-hmm. He gave you the talent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, use it.
Yeah. Man. I also say what makes him special is not giving him out to just anybody. You know what I'm saying?
It's like pussy. You just don't give it out to anybody.
Yeah, it's like, nah. Because I do like raw comedy. I do like styles from like back in the day. Like, you know, I do like that. But when it seems like it's too commercial, like for instance.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First, and we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita first as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That last piece of that third piece of advice that you said Chris gave you, try not to piss white people off. You can actually see that in a lot of black specials when they trying to tiptoe around stuff.
Right.
I don't like that because then it doesn't allow you to be creative. And then what doesn't piss? And then it's not even just white people. It's all these different, you know, communities now. Everything is so, since everybody's so sensitive, it's like, because I really, at one point, like, I really, really wanted, like, a special. And I'm not saying I don't now, but it's like, yo.
You want it to be special.
I want it to be special, yeah. And I don't want to water myself down just to get that.
Well, I think, like, number one, I don't think you have to, you know, I think part of what makes it special, too, is you ain't got to pump out 5 specials in a month.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many of these dudes on Netflix who got, like, damn, you just had one. Mm-hmm. They got another one. And I'm like, Jada, cooking the bird up slow. Cook it slow, man.
Yeah.
You know? And again, this is the genius of Dave, though. Of all the specials he put out, the only one I really didn't like a lot was the one in the belly room.
Mm.
But all the other ones, I can't remember the name of that one, but he did it at the Comedy Store. But it was just him in the belly room.
No, I remember
but all the other ones were potent. But Dave's a potent motherfucker.
Yeah.
But there's so many of these dudes who might not be as potent, but because the opportunity is there or the money is there, they want to put out these specials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, nah, I would rather, I would say, you know, put out fewer and make sure that the ones you put out are fire.
All fire. Yeah.
But I think they follow with Dave because Dave puts out a couple of specials. But Dave, like you said, is funny.
But Dave is Dave. And I ain't a whole lot of motherfuckers can you know, rock like that.
Just do
you
that,
know, if he
yeah.
was still alive, I said the only comic who could rival Dave is Patrice. Mm. So if Patrice hadn't passed, boy.
I'm mad I missed the Patrice O'Neal era.
Ooh.
I mean, I ran into him.
Oh.
I didn't see him on stage. Like, I knew him from, like, he used to be on that VH1 show all the time.
Right.
And, like, I would hear him on Opie and Anthony.
Anthony. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But I never
used to Patrice was a fucking monster. You saw specials, though, right? Elephant in the Room?
No, I never saw Elephant in the Room. Not in full.
Oh, God. Oh, Elephant in the Room, his album Mr. P, even his half-hour Comedy Central special. that motherfucker was a monster. And he liked Dave. You're going to say what the fuck he going to say. You're not diluting this comedy cocaine. Mm-hmm. It's pure.
I remember Chris Rock saying one, I remember him saying, I forgot what radio show he was on. He was like, one day we're all going to be working for Patrice O'Neal.
Yeah. There are three great quotes by three legendary comics that I think is the credo that we live by. George Carlin said, Dave Chappelle said, you don't know where the line is in comedy until you cross it. Dave said, George said, you should know where the line is in comedy and deliberately cross it. Mm. And then Patrice said, good comedy leaves half the audience laughing, the other half horrified. I think those are both three lines we got to live by. You know, as crazy as Roseanne Barr is, I remember I read this one book and I can't remember exactly how she said it, but to paraphrase, she was just like, it is our job and duty to say what the fuck we feel, especially when we know this is a platform where we're supposed to be allowed to do that. And people live vicariously through us, which is why they love comics, because we say what they think and what they feel, but they can't. So if that is an escape that people must have, which it is, we got to do our job, man.
Yeah.
You know? By the way, I just wanted to always tell you, you got some of the most gorgeous lips I've ever
seen.
Thank you, Aries. Jesus Christ.
I appreciate that.
Man.
You are a loving guy.
I very am. I really, I'm an Aries. I'm a romantic, too. I'm good with it.
Thanks.
All right.
It's 2024. Can you say that without potentially getting canceled?
You've got some very, if there was some dynamite strapped to me, with a timer, and I had to say that shit before the time went out, or I would explode. I'd be a dead motherfucker.
Is you like, I don't know enough way to say it.
Yeah, I can't articulate that.
Right,
like
it's
that.
Like they live.
And as a woman, I would think that if I'm trying to do that, your pussy would dry up.
Trying
like,
to
nigga,
go
say
around
what the fuck you know you're supposed to say to get me wet.
I was gonna say, do you ever think comedy would get back to the era of
it
Patrice
is. It's
O'Neal,
here now.
Capone, I feel like I don't know if it's
like
completely how
the clubs
here now.
Clubs used to be like we would go to
I
the
think
club
it's here,
and you would see.
No.
I don't
leaving.
Think so.
I think I think Dave, especially with that special we did about the whole transgender thing,
because
that was all about the trans. He can lead the way, but in order for that to work, all the other big comics got to get behind that movement.
Yeah,
he can't be a solo dude trying to push us forward. But if the Bill Burrs and the Sarah Silvermans and the Kevin Harts and the Mike Epps, if everybody said fuck this within the comic community, we bringing it back.
You don't think Burr
it
does it?
No, Burr does. I'm saying. But more than him. You know, Martin couldn't be out there with just him and Reverend Abernathy.
He needed
all them niggas behind him.
But you got the guys like Andrew Schultz now. Schultz don't give a shit.
Schultz is a beast. Schultz is a beast.
Like, the Shane Gillises of the world.
Right.
Don't none of those guys give a fuck. I mean, they're white, but they still don't give a fuck.
Well, that also is a key factor.
Absolutely. And I think Carlos right. don't give a fuck. Carlos Miller.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, there's a small group. But I'm just saying, it's the masses.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something we all got to get behind. Yeah. Even if you're not that kind of comic, in the name of what we do in this community, how could you not support it?
Yeah.
You haven't done a special since what, 2016?
Netflix won't fuck with me.
That's the third thing Chris Rock said, huh? He pissed off the white people.
Netflix won't fuck with me.
Is there a reason? Have they told you a reason? Or?
Just, you know, again, you know, one thing about Hollywood is, and this is why I say, you know, no one does self-investigation.
Mm-hmm.
This shit
mm-hmm.
is very high school. You know, cliques, there's cliques.
Yeah.
You know, the goths sit with the goths, the preps, jocks. And people don't take the time to go, hey, man, listen, I know what I heard, you know, perception, but let me holler at you. Let me feel you out myself. And then they can go, listen, I don't know what experiences those people had, but the vibe I'm getting, yo, you cool, motherfucker.
Yeah.
No one does that in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They go off of what they hear.
Yeah.
It's also a dick riding business, though.
Well, dick sucking and riding.
Yeah. So, so when you sell out the Hulu theaters and you keep doing these theaters, they'll be knocking at your door.
And that's
just a fact.
Listen, I don't give a fuck how it happens. If I can't get through the front, whether I got to go around, over, under, as long as I'm the rose in the concrete, then I've done my job. Mm-hmm. So my path and my journey may definitely take longer and be harder, but that'll make it all worth it once I do what I need to do
and
get to where I need to get.
I respect the fact that you got such self-awareness, because a lot of people,
49
years old, they still be holding on to, it's that person's fault and that person's fault.
Listen, let's not get it misconstrued. Some of the shit in this game can cause you to, you know, but I have done some things that I regret. I have done some things maybe I shouldn't. But it don't take away from the fact that there's still the politics of this. Yeah. There's still the racism of show business. Mm-hmm. And listen, again, I started when I was 14. I was in Hollywood and was doing Mad TV at 22. Wow. Had done Def Jam with Martin at 16, Showtime at the Apollo at 17. For a broke nigga to come from the west side of New York in Hell's Kitchen to go to Hollywood at 17 and make $1 million before I'm 21 and get network deals and see all of this that this business is, that'll fuck you up if you ain't ready.
You're supposed to lose your mind. They should have it in the contract. He's going to lose his mind at least once. You gotta,
this is all new to me. I'm the most successful, you know, richest person in my family. So who prepped me for this? Right. Mm-hmm. Nobody prepped me and said, hey, I remember Norm Nixon used to be my manager. He was my first manager when I moved out to LA. And I remember he took me to Miami and I was probably like, you know, 18 and I had no money on me.
Mm-hmm. Norm that manages Trevor Noah now?
No, Norm, Debbie Allen's husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember I said, Norm, hey man, let me get $10 so I can. He goes, whoa, as a man, you don't ever leave your house without money. My father didn't teach me that. Mm. Wow. But Norm did. Wow. So it was like, again, I had nobody to pull my coattail and go, hey, you in Hollywood and you black. Don't, nigga. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing everything for the first time on my own.
Yeah.
So yeah, I made some mistakes, you know? But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Have you ever apologized to anybody?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Like Kevin or any of those guys behind the
scenes? Not Kevin, but Atheon and Farrell. I said, look, man, if I ever came off a certain way or made y'all feel a certain way based off of maybe something I didn't say that I should have said, my bad. Like, I learned with Tony when I messed with him for the first time. I said, Tony, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm surprised you even had me on because for a long time, I didn't even think you liked me.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not that I didn't like you. Matter of fact, he brought up this story that I didn't remember. He goes, we did a gig in Seattle one time, me, you, and I forget the other name of the comic. He goes, we all sitting in a limo, and the whole time I wanted to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's Aries Spears. Mm-hmm. And I said, I never knew you had that kind of respect for me or you even liked me. And he goes, we two New York niggas. So Tony's got his bravado, too. But Tony said, dude, I always was a fan, but you always looked so standoffish. And you didn't smile. You didn't really talk to people. Maybe if you saw him, you did that and that was it. So I kind of just thought you was, like most people, you was an asshole. Mm-hmm. And again, there was nothing he was basing that off of. Like I said something to him, I disrespected him. Mm-hmm. But that's always been who I've been. I've always just been, when I'm not on stage, I'm quiet, man. Mm-hmm. I'm very reserved. Mm-hmm. And unless I really know you, and then if I know you, we could, you know, turn it up. But I don't say much.
He's always been like that.
Yeah.
For as long as I was always been like
what
that.
What was the issue with Avion? Like the whole sketch thing? Or
I just said, because I think in passing, I would see Avion and Pharaoh, and I would just kind of like, and that's it.
Did you have a King of New York mentality? Like I'm the best rapper alive.
He would go to the club like that. He would go to the club and not say nothing to nobody.
So everybody's an op, even if they not.
Yes.
Hey, listen, man.
He would be at the club like that.
And you gotta understand something. Like in the 90s when Mad TV was at its heyday, I'm in my 20s, I'm making good money, I'm famous, and I was in a lot better shape. I was slim, trim, handsome ass nigga. I was getting a lot of pussy, B. So between all of this coming at me at once, you couldn't tell me shit.
Yeah.
I had some bravado on my show, on my set. Yeah. So, but you know, life is humbled me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's humbled me.
And you still, but the crazy part is you say life has humbled you, but it's not like you're doing bad in any way, shit.
No. I realized taking a step back, looking, going, you could have just stepped different, a little different, you know, say hello more and engage more, you know? And I wish I had done that, but, you know.
She was like Beans of comedy, like Beanie Siegel of comedy. Straight up.
No, no, fuck.
You had Tony Rock
say. You know who the fuck was. Dangerous.
Tony Rock said you never smiled. Like another man said you never smiled.
You know what I love about that moment? And everybody in the comments was like, yo, it's dope how Charlamagne is so unbothered. Like you didn't see, like, okay.
Yeah, what I'm supposed to say?
He's been through it a lot, that's why. At least 20 times before that.
Right. And it's Beanie Siegel. It's like,
you
want to see Beanie turn up a little bit, right?
And it's funny because talking about perception, and I got to ask you, because early on, especially the first time I did The Breakfast Club, there was always this pre-warning. yo, man, you better be careful. Charlamagne be trying to be slick. Charlamagne try to purposely say things to. So the first time I came here, I was talking to you, and I was just, when the nigga gonna try to. You know what I'm saying? And you never did.
Because I don't do that.
But, and now on the second time, I'm going, well, he's older, I'm older, mm-hmm. and I'm still not sensing this perception that you this dude who's gonna purposely try to.
It's never been that. Like, I think, like you, in a lot of ways, it's just like honesty. I'm gonna ask an honest question.
Right.
And people react how they want to react to it. But I'm right. never in purposely like, oh, I'm going to disrespect this person. I'm going to say right. something slick to get this person caught up. Yeah. Nah.
Right.
Nah.
Yeah. And another thing is, he don't like to leave shit alone. Like, if somebody, if he think you bullshitting about an answer, he'll ask you again another way.
Right. See, I respect that, though. Like, I respect that, though.
But the niggas be mad and shit, yo. Yeah. So that's how that goes.
I respect that, though, yeah. you know? Again, I'm direct.
Yeah.
You know, and in this pussy era we live in, direct. Honesty, confidence,
yeah.
those are all bad traits.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I never understood that. You yeah. know, I love Muhammad Ali to death. You know, I'm handsome, I'm pretty, I'm fast, and I can't possibly be beat.
Mm-hmm.
That man made niggas at that time feel like they was worth something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and even though, you know, we've far advanced past that, we know we worth something,
right.
I think we still need to hear that.
Yeah.
Right, we right, still right. need to feel that, believe that. So...
You know, we had Gerard Carmichael up here yesterday, and he said he feels like comedy is a dying art form. Do you agree?
Well, I know his stance on Dave Chappelle didn't help it. You know, when he came out with that, and listen, comedically, if Dave was a musician, based on his style, his pace, his awareness, he's Miles Davis.
Yeah.
And I always said Gerard Carmichael, he has a lot of that same rhythm. He's Thelonious Monk. So I have a lot of respect for Carmichael, but when after he came out, and then he trashed Dave kind of for the transgender special.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, you're violating one of the biggest codes in comedy. Mm. You're putting your personal shit over the art.
Yeah.
You know, this badge that we wear called mm-hmm. comedy and this oath we've taken, that comes before anything. And so you letting your personal agenda and feelings come in front of the code, nigga.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, he was wrong for that.
He apologized. Okay. He apologized on Breastco because I gave him donkey today for exactly what you said. Because I'm like, if you're a comic, eventually you're going to say something that's going to offend people. Eventually
right.
you're going to do something that's going to rub people the wrong
right.
way. And not less than 12 hours, he had the joke that was on his reality show.
Yeah. Right.
About him, what was it? His he looks at his boyfriend as a slave.
Master
teaching him how to read.
Mm-hmm.
He's the slave. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you didn't see that one.
No.
But he said it didn't. They only took a part of it, and it was like a full on long joke.
He said they tried to sexualize it. It don't matter about the sex.
Right. It's right.
Just, yeah.
Know, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I want to watch his show because you know, me and my podcast partner, we talk about everything.
Yeah.
And when we were like, you know, as comics, we're interested to see. Mm-hmm. His take on that with that show.
Oh yeah, you should watch it.
Definitely watch it.
Yeah, it's watch it.
Really,
and context.
Really good.
Listen, context is extremely important because I remember when Sarah Silverman got in trouble for something regarding like kind of like blackface,
mm-hmm.
and of course everybody rah rah rah. But contextually, when you saw what it was, I went, it ain't what y'all yelling about.
Yeah.
So you know, and I know sometimes black people, as much as I love my people, we be the first to wanna.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucking racism
to each other.
Yeah, and it's just like slow down. Mm-hmm. What's the context?
Mm-hmm.
And go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, definitely watch his show.
I do a joke about where the punchline is basically Dr. King getting assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now when you hear that, first of all, that happened in 1968. You would think, oh damn, that's so long ago. What's it?
Mm-hmm.
But the way I tell it, the audience. Oh,
mm.
But then the way I address it afterwards, and long story short, it's a banger.
Yeah,
it's a banger. But so there's a way you can say everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that's the artist.
Yeah,
right? If you're special, you know how to do that.
Yeah,
everybody don't know how to do that.
No.
Now you know. Lastly, I know that you was in the news about a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I felt like somebody was taking the old footage of you and taking it out of hand, maybe, with you and Tiffany Haddish. So what happened with that?
I can't get into that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I would love to, because it's bothering me not to, because on several Vlad appearances, you know, it without fail, when you go to the comments, there's the comments. Man, nigga talking about everything but that.
Yeah.
And I ain't never ran from nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to address it, but... My lawyer is like, until this thing is finally put to bed,
gotcha.
I just can't touch it.
No, we understand. Yeah, well, smart. Madison Square Garden, May 18th, the Hulu Theater.
Get your tickets, and we appreciate you for joining us, yes, brother.
Thank you. And can I also pump my podcast, yeah, please? Spears and Steinberg, available on all streaming platforms. Go to our YouTube channel, Spearsburg Pod. Hit like and subscribe, or slide into my DMs. I'll give you the links, chop it up with you. And as I always say, I know it's a lot of episodes, but start from the beginning. It matters comedically, contextually, for characters, callbacks, jokes. And it's like masturbation and potato chips. Once you start, you can't stop. I guarantee you, it's blue magic. You're going to be hooked.
There you have it. Harry Spears is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yeah. Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in, exactly, to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita Liliana Montenegro,
esa soy yo,
play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.